right? That's a good place to be, isn't it? On higher ground. And let's take our Bibles this evening, shall we? And turn to the book of Colossians and chapter 3.
Just didn't want my meeting straight after the service.
Sorry? Who?
One-way meeting.
One-way meeting. Okay. One-way meeting straight after the service. Down there somewhere, find a room down there. That'll be fine. All righty. A one-way meeting after the service. Not for clubbers, for leaders, I gather. Special extended one-way on Sunday. Wouldn't that be good? Hey? Colossians chapter 3. We turn there. And the title for this evening's message asks a question. And the question is this: is there a reward? Is there a reward? And you might think, oh, that's a pretty simple answer, pretty straightforward. It's a good question and a simple answer. Yes, a resounding yes, there is a reward. And this evening we're going to have a little bit of a look at this question. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24, we read these things in God's word: and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Let's pray, shall we, as we consider these things this evening. Lord, your word is open before us, and we pray now that our hearts would be open to the teaching of your Spirit this evening. Lord God, I yield my tongue to you, Lord God, and pray, Lord, that you would use these things that have been prepared. Use your word as you promised, Lord God. It will not return void. And we just bring these things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that many of you enjoy rewards. And I wonder how many of you, if you just think about it, there are rewards that you have already received. Have a little bit of a think. Probably not something you've received on Australia Day, though. Is there anyone here that's done that? Received something on Australia Day? Queen's birthday? Any sirs, dames? No? Nothing that high order here today? But there are rewards for us. And I'm sure that there is some sort of award that perhaps you have received somewhere in life. Perhaps at school, you've received an award or reward. You've received something. Perhaps it's a certificate. Perhaps you've got that certificate at home. Perhaps it's a trophy. You've got that at home. I know I have a little pile of green things about this big. And you used to get these little green cards from the more use primary, well, they didn't call it primary school, state school sports day back then. And I can remember getting a pile of green ones and a pile of red ones. Didn't get any blue ones. What do you think blue means? Blue ribbons is first place. Red ones, second place. Green ones, third place. I've got a lot of third place ones. I'll tell you why. In the we used to call it the flat race. Because you'd run flat out. I think that's what they called it. The flat race. You take your old Dunlop sand shoes off and you ran in bare feet back then. Who remembers that? You ran in bare, you didn't wear, they were pretty floppy, those silly things anyway. But you'd run, and every year from prep to when about grade three, I'd get third place. Every year. Why, you might ask? In another school, there were twin brothers who were just that little bit faster than me. But then I also had a pile of red cards, red seconds. You know what race that was in? The pairs race, where you'd pair up with someone and run as fast as you could, dragging your partner down the track. And you know who would beat us? The twin brothers. Yeah, they must have piles of red cards, blue cards at their place. But that's sort of the only thing that I've got to boast, really. These awards, these rewards that we got. But then you think about it, there's all these schemes that are available. Okay, I get emails all the time from Woolworths. What's theirs called? Everyday Rewards. Okay, and if you click on the button, you can triple your awards for the week, and if you buy certain things during the week, you can get more points. Flybys. Who's got a Flybys card? Yeah, you can get those at Bunnings now. So you can go to Bunnings and use your Flybys card. That's pretty handy. And we've used our Flybys card points to buy stuff. We've also got one that because we've been with Telstra forever and a day, since it was the PMG probably, we've been with Telstra forever and a day, and we have become gold members, which I don't know what that does for you, but you can earn points there, and we've got points there if we pay our bill on time, if you pay your phone bill on time, depending how many phones you've got, and we've got points there. So we've been rewarded. I think one year we used all our points and bought one of those little Dyson sucker-uppery gadgets, you know, one of those little sticky things that you can suck things up with. Yeah, we bought one of those, okay, with our reward points. Okay. So there is some value in these things, and I'm sure you could probably think of other ones as well. You might have a credit card or a bank that gives you rewards for spending your money. So there's all these schemes and these things, but it's something we all like to do. We all like brownie points, don't we? We understand what a brownie point is. And who was a brownie? All right. Okay, brownie points. That's you earn brownie points. You gather them together, and as you get the brownie points, there's a reward. There's an award later on. You earn it for patches and tags and things that you can do. But the Bible tells us here that there is a reward. There is an award for we as Christians. Okay? And if we have a look at it here, it tells us that here, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Why should you do it heartily? Because you're doing it for the Lord. But remember this also, there's a little bonus to this, that there is knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Ye serve the Lord Christ. And yes, absolutely, because it tells us, know it for sure that there is a reward for you. There is a reward for you. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter. We've been turning there a little bit recently. And let's have a look at the book, something in that says in the book of 1 Peter, as we just continue on the introduction here about these awards and things we can earn. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's read some verses from this. We've been reading this a fair bit. And have a little bit of a look at this. Let's start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Ooh, there's a little hint of a reward there. Okay, there's a little hint there. There's this hope that we have. And it's called a lively hope. It's something we just sort of don't, it's like that blessed hope where we don't sort of think, oh, I sort of hope it rains soon. Who's hoping that? I hope it rains soon. But it's a hope that we have as an assurance. And this is a lively hope. So we've got a little bit of a hint of an award there. We've got a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, here's another one. To an inheritance, a reward, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's a pretty good sort of a reward, isn't it? Look at it. Incorruptible and undefiled. It's not like my silly little pieces of cardboard that one day I know my children will find it and go, chuck it in the skip, put it in the... They'll get rid of it. It'll burn. But this award here is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And it says here that it is reserved for us in heaven. It's there as a thing that's promised for us in heaven. It's there. It's there for sure. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter tells us this, there is this reward, and we can depend on it. It's an inheritance that's given to us, waiting for us in heaven. And he tells us here a little bit more about this reward. Why are we getting a reward? There's not many rewards you get where people just come around and give it to you. Knock on your door and say, here you go. Doesn't happen like that. This reward, we do have to earn. We do have to work for it. What's that saying? No gain, no pain. You got to work. You've got to work for it. And it tells us here that the work we have, the work we're doing, is a trial of our faith, a testing of our faith. Making sure that those things that are left are not things that can be defiled. Making sure that the things that are left are things that are undefiled. So what is the reward here? It's something here that says it's worth more than gold. It's worth more than gold. It's something incorruptible and undefiled. It's something that will not pass away. It's something that is reserved for us in heaven. And that word reserved means it's held fast for you there. Right? It's there for you. It's something that it says there in this verse, it is something that is found unto praise. It's something that will be given to you as a commendation, something commendable, something that you can laud, something you can display. It's something that is given to you because of praise. It is something that is given to you because of honor. It's given because the things that you've been doing are esteemed and held in high respect. It's something that's given to you because they're of the things you've been doing are of the highest degree. This reward is there for you. It is something that is found to glory. It means to be of good reputation and of apparent worthiness. Okay? It's something that is there for you. When will this happen? And it tells us a couple of times here, but in particular it tells us at the appearing of Christ. At the appearing of Christ. And at the appearing of Christ, we will hear him say, let's turn back to the book of Matthew. And we could turn to a couple of passages here, but we'll just go to this book of to the book of Matthew and chapter 25. And when he appears, and in the book in Matthew chapter 25, we find a parable here of the master that left the servants in charge of the talents and the master that left the servants in charge. And he comes back to them. And when he comes back, he's able to say to some of the servants who's been doing a good job, he's able to say to them in verse 23, he says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that our aim? To hear Christ say that at his appearing, that he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou faithful, tried, tested servant. You servants that have gone through the mill, that have been put to the test, that have been purified. This is the master saying to his servants who've done a good job, here is your reward. Here is your reward. So who are these faithful servants? And I hope we can say, I'm one of them. But this evening I want to look at a few. I want to look at five faithful servants. Five types of faithful servants. And what have these faithful servants done to be able to inherit their reward? The first one this evening, let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. And the first type of servant we're going to look at this evening is the watchful servant. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 37. A watchful servant. Blessed, and that just means supremely blessed, well off, very happy. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, find them watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. The watchful servant, who are they? They're those in Christ's personal service, his servants. Okay? We have to notice that word there. That's blessed are those servants. So you need to be in Christ's service to be his servant. You have to be doing what he wants you to do. And hopefully you do fall into that category this evening. You say, yes, I am serving the Lord. I am his servant. I have a desire in my heart that he is my master, he is my Lord, and I am serving him. And it tells us here that the Lord is coming. And we've had a little bit of a look at that already. We've mentioned that already, that when Christ comes and says, well done, okay, it's something that we will be looking forward to. In the book of Revelation, it says this six times, I come quickly. Six times it says, I come quickly. He's coming soon. We don't know when he's coming, but he is coming. That's a promise. Okay? That's a promise. And what we need to be doing as his servants is we need to be watching. Now, does that mean you just sort of stand around and go, where's the Easterns guy? Over here. Hang on. Have to be in Jerusalem. What do we? Is that what it's talking about there? Watching? Is that all we should be doing as servants? Just watching? Get up every morning, I'm watching, having a look. Might be today. Ooh, it looks as though it might. It's getting close. Was it Iran just attacked an American base today? Ooh, that looks promising, doesn't it? Is that all we need to be doing, though? No, not according to these parables here, because what did the master want the servants to be doing while they were watching for his return? Yes, watching to see if he's coming, but watching means to keep awake, to be vigilant, to be watchful, but servants should be watching and vigilant, not just for seeing, here comes the master, but watching and vigilant also to serve him. And to carry on those things he wants us to do here on this place while he's away. To use those talents that he's given to us, those gifts that he's given to us, the jobs that he's given to us, and be looking out and be watchful for that as well. Not just so heavenly minded we're no earthly good sort of idea, watching. But making sure while we're here, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, looking for opportunities to serve God and looking for opportunities to serve others. He wants us to serve, seeking out those opportunities with vigilance. Be watchful for them, because if we're not watchful, we might miss an opportunity to be a servant of the Master. We might miss an opportunity to help someone out who needs help that the Lord's directed us to, and won't it be very sad that when we get to glory, we might see those opportunities that we've missed. Okay? There's some songs that go around and say that there's no tears in heaven. It says he's going to wipe our tears away. There will be tears. He's going to wipe them away because we're going to have tears of joy, true, and tears thinking, hey, I missed an opportunity. I missed an opportunity to do what God wanted me to do. I missed an opportunity what Jesus directed me to do. I missed that opportunity because I wasn't watching. My eyes were probably on myself. I wasn't watching. I wasn't looking for opportunities to serve him and others. I wasn't diligent. I wasn't vigilant in looking for those opportunities. Not missing out on an opportunity to serve the Master. We don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss that. Look there at the verse 37, what the reward is. What the reward is. If we watch, what happens? There's a reward, and that's Christ's personal service for you. Christ's personal service for you reminds me a little bit about when he went and washed the feet. Not only did he set an example, he was serving people. Here it tells us this. If we are watching and the Master comes, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Here's the reward. God will bless us with his own, or Christ will bless us with his own personal service, his care, his attention. His attention to our needs and our cares. His attention to, and we see the word meat here, it just means to recline back like they did in those times to eat and to have fellowship with each other. His attention to fellowship and encouraging us as he sits with us. A reward of feasting and fellowshipping at the Master's table. Now, we might immediately think, hey, yeah, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yep, that's the big one. But there's always the fellowship we enjoy here with him. When he reveals things in his word and feeds our hearts from his word. There's that fellowshipping as well. But it will be a grand day when we do sit with him around that table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because then it will be an everlasting feast and fellowship, won't it? So an eternity of fellowship with him. What an amazing reward. But it tells us in Revelation he's there. Knock, knock. Open up, I'm ready for fellowshipping. I'm ready to come in. Are you watching? Are you listening? We need to be watching and listening. So this evening, I'll say this a bit. Is there a reward here? Don't miss out. Don't miss out on this one. It's a goodie. Number two, the next type of servant is the enduring servant. The enduring servant. So let's turn to the book of James, shall we? Down to the book of James. And chapter 1, and we'll have a look at this enduring servant. Chapter 1, verse 12, and here's this word again, blessed. What did I say? It meant supremely blessed, well off, very happy. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So as we continue on and looking at this, we see that this person is extremely blessed. And they know that there is a reward. Look back at verse 2 of this same chapter. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Joy is something that's a reward, isn't it? Joy is something that is good, that will make us blessed, that will make us very happy. And this contradiction of going through all these trials and temptations in our lives should be something that we say, well, I know what the purpose is here. I know what's going on. God's told me about this one. I know. There's a reward for this if I endure. All right? If I endure this temptation, if I endure this trial, endure means to stay under, to undergo, to bear the trials, have fortitude, persevere, endure patiently and patiently suffer. If you can do that, there's a reward. It's promised. You'll be blessed. You will be blessed. And a temptation, just basically a testing, a proving, all right, making sure what is in your life is not the stuff that's the defiled stuff, but it's the undefiled stuff, so that you can be of service to Him. If we love Christ, we will endure. We'll stick at the game. And the reward here, it tells us here, a crown of life. Now, crowns were awarded to athletes back in those days, in the ancient Olympics or the Roman Games back then, for the victors. For those athletes who were striving under great pressure to endure, to finish the course, to conquer an adversary. And we do have an adversary, don't we? We have that adversary, Satan, that roaring lion, who wants to, as 1 Peter chapter 5 and Nathan looked at this morning, we won't turn there. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he might, it's a pretty gory word this, isn't it? Devour. All right? And it means to gulp entirely. To gulp entirely. To draw it in, and even has the idea of drowning. Satan, the roaring lion, wants to swallow you up entirely. He doesn't want you to be a servant that's watching. He doesn't want you to be a servant that's enduring. He wants you to be weak. He doesn't want you to be able to go through these temptations. He wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to strive. He doesn't want you to press. He doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to fall over, and he wants to devour you. Okay? But we're also told in the book of James that if we submit ourselves to God, we will be able to resist the devil. If we submit ourselves to God, making sure we know that, yes, there is a reward. He's our master. If we submit to him, there will be that reward. It also says in the verse after that, verse 8, it tells to me, draw near to me. Get sin in your life taken care of. Draw near to me. Submit. If you don't submit, people from Olivet, you've heard this one. If you don't submit, you won't be able to resist. So if you can't submit to God, don't try resisting Satan, because you won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. Okay, but you submit to God, you will be able to resist Satan. You will be able to flee from him. Okay, you will be able to put that lion down. Okay, you will get this crown of life. If you put yourself under God's testing regime, allow him to purify you and test you and tempt you, allow him to strengthen you, your life, by his power, then you will be rewarded with that crown of life, a crown that will not fade away. That ancient Roman thing, a couple of years, worth nothing. Okay, our crown, a crown of life that will endure forever. So here it is. Is there a reward here for you? Don't miss out on this one. Our next faithful servant, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll find our next faithful servant here, and that is the diligent servant. 2 Peter chapter 1, and verses 10 through 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are the servants of our loving Master, and we need to be diligent in our service. Diligent means this, and it sort of comes back to that watchful business as well. Diligent means to use speed, to make an effort, be prompt, earnest in any endeavour, in our labours or in our studies. We need to make sure that in every area of our Christian life, we're diligent. Okay? We're diligent. Give diligence. Give diligence. Because there's a reward here too. There's a reward here too. We need to be diligent in every effort to serve the King. We need to be diligent in our labours and endeavours. There's a twofold reward just here at the start. Then there's another one at the end. Firstly, it says here, it makes our calling and election sure. And sure just means steadfast, firm, built on a firm foundation. Our faith, our service will be grounded and built on an eternal and Satan-proof foundation. One that can't be shaken or taken away. And we need to be diligent to make sure we're building our lives on that foundation in our study and every endeavour. Because if we're not diligent in that, Satan's going to knock it out, take it away. We don't want to lose that. We want to make our calling and election sure, firm, sound. Satan won't be able to destroy it. Make it firm. Secondly, we will be awarded with an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of Christ. That word abundant means copious, copious, rich, full, overflowing, so much so that it's really more than I deserve. Okay? Your cup overflowing. And the cup overflowing flows out to other people. It's a blessing in their lives as well. All right? You try not to keep all the stuff in the cup for you. It's overflowing for others as well, so we can serve them. So what would you prefer? A skin of the teeth job? Or would you prefer the full and overflowing because you've been diligent in your service? Okay? There's that saying, making it by the skin of his teeth. It's in God's word. We don't want that. We want to make sure that our award and rewards overflowing, full. And it tells us, we go down here into verse 12, Peter says this, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter says this here, it's important. I need to tell you these things. I need to tell you that you need to be established, set fast in the truth. Make your election sure. Okay? Make your foundation solid. Make sure it's on the truth of God. He wanted us to be established in that. So the question is this, again, is there a reward here for you? And don't miss out on that one. Number four, let's turn to 2 John this evening. 2 John, and we'll find this fourth type of servant. And this one is the servant that is a faithful attender to the truth. The servant who is a faithful attender to the truth and not the deceivers of this world. Look at verse 4 and we'll read through to verse 8. I greatly rejoice that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father, and refers back to Psalm 119, that we should be diligent in keeping his commands. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The servant that is in a faithful attender to the truth has this reward called the full reward. The full reward. It tells us here, look to yourselves that we don't lose it. Stand on the truth. You can miss stuff, and I've already talked about that. We might shed tears because we've missed stuff. We might miss stuff. We want to receive a full reward for those things that we've toiled over. That's what that word wrought means, to toil, to labour for, that we've worked hard for. We don't want to miss out on it because we listen to some deceivers who take us away from the truth of God's word, who say, who is Jesus Christ? The one that's come in the flesh. God come in the flesh. So this is important. This is an important one. And it tells us here there's some exhortations to make sure that we get this reward. He says there that, first of all, verse 4, we need to walk in the truth. Our daily path, our habit, our life, our consistent walk should be in the truth, on the truth, on that foundation that's been established there for us. Another one in verse 5 tells us that we need to love one another, look after one another, treat one another as Christ treated us. We need to love one another. Verse 6 tells us this, we need to walk after his commandments, keep his commandments, abide by them, keep them as our pathway. And then verse 7 and 8, a warning to us. Be careful of the deceivers. They will rob you of your reward. We don't want to miss that full reward, that complete reward, that reward with all the trimmings, that fully furnished reward that's waiting for us in heaven. A pretty impressive reward. Is this a reward that you would like? Is there a reward here for you? Don't miss out on this reward. And then our final type of servant found in Revelation chapter 3. Let's turn this here. We've mentioned a verse in Revelation chapter 3, but this one is in the next verse. Jesus standing and knocking in verse 20. And then it goes on to say this. In verse 21, there's a type of servant here, and that is the overcoming servant. The final faithful servant is the overcoming servant. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. What sort of servant is this servant? Who is this servant? Who is this one that has overcome? He's the servant that is watchful. He's the servant that has endured. He is the servant that has been diligent. He is the servant who has walked in the truth. He's the servant that has conquered, that has prevailed, that has gotten the victory, that has run the race for the prize of the high calling. He's the servant that gets those honours that we've looked at back there. They're the ones that have overcome. They're the ones who are going to be rewarded here some amazing privileges. on thrones with Christ ruling. What a privilege, what a prestigious reward this is. A place with Christ on the throne. A place of great honor, a place of great triumph, a place to rule with Christ. And what an extreme and blessed privilege this place on the throne is. So here's that question again. Is there a reward here for you? Don't miss out on this one. It's a pretty impressive list, isn't it? The rewards we've looked at this evening. And you know what? There's more. I've only just sort of scratched a little bit at the surface. There's other rewards as well. Whether they might be eternal or here on earth, there are more. We just need to look at them, find them, have a desire in our hearts to want them. To want them in our lives. So this evening, did you find yourself on the list, on the honor list? Did you find yourself with a reward already? Because the answer to the question is this: is there a reward? There's absolutely a reward, but the question is this: which ones have you got? Which ones do you want? Because there's not just one potentially, there's many rewards for us. And all we need to do, just like you can build up thousands of flybys, but unless you cash it in, you're going to get no benefit from it. So make sure you're a servant that when the Lord comes, says you're good and faithful. Make sure you don't miss out on a reward. Let's take our hymn book, shall we? And